Today we're going to be talking about a weapon that Satan uses. A weapon that Satan uses on almost all of us. It's one of his most effective weapons. And believe me, I'm not up here to pat Satan on the back, but he's got some good weapons. It's a weapon that can be paralyzing. A weapon that can not only cause mental and emotional problems, but can lead to physical problems. A weapon that can be overwhelming. A weapon that can make us feel like we're bound by chains. And this is a weapon that he's used on me specifically for a big part of my life, but especially over the last few years. And that weapon is fear. And along with fear comes things like worrying, anxiety, stress, all sorts of things that can mess your life up personally, and can mess your life up, you know, in your relationships with your friends, your marriages, all sorts of things. And many of you today are probably here dealing with fears and anxieties. Some of the big ones are losing your hair, gaining weight, fear of tripping and falling in front of somebody, or being naked in public. I don't know if any of you have ever had that dream where you're naked in public, but I've had it a lot. You know, I hear people talk about it, but I've probably had that 3 or 4 times, and it's horrifying, the thought of being naked in public. It really is. And then we have, you know, what I would call maybe medium fears. Fear of heights, fear of driving, speaking in public. Some of you are scared of clowns, spiders. You know, it's weird. I've got 2 things that I'm absolutely horrified of. One of those is heights, and one of those is spiders. I cannot stand spiders. When God thought of the worst thing he could put on this planet, that's what it had to be. And, you know, it's funny how fear works out. You know, fear, I'm starting to realize that fear is a choice. Because, you know, I think of this little bitty bug that I'm absolutely scared to death of. I've never seen one bigger than like itty bitty in real life, and I'm horrified. But why is that? I've never been bit by a spider. I've never, you know, really had any run-ins with spiders, but I'm scared to death of spiders for some reason. And you see, that goes to show me that fear is a mental thing. Fear is a choice. It's not real. We'll take it to where it's real and we'll let it control us, but it's not real. We need to learn to control, you know, this thing that we call fear. But there are some serious fears. Fear of failure. Fear of what people think. Financial fears. Fear of regret. Or fear of death. Those are real fears. But at the same time, we have the ability and we have someone in our corner who can help us overcome those fears. And we're going to look at some of those fears today and how we, with God's, you know, God's touch, can overcome these. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be, I've got several scriptures here today, but my main text is in Isaiah 43, 1 through 5. Isaiah 43, 1 through 5. It says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, and give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you." You see, we'll allow fear to basically come in, and like I said, it can control us. I live in fear a lot. I have many anxieties and many fears, and most things that I fear are things that I can't control. So why fear them? You know, and I began to think of that. Why are we fearing certain things? And so I stepped back and I took a minute and I thought about this planet, for example. Do you realize that we are on this huge rock that's traveling around so fast it would make your head spin, out in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by other things that are spinning that fast? That's crazy. That's insane when you think about it. It really is. And if that doesn't make you feel small and insecure, I don't know what will. But you see, somebody provided something to keep us all on here from just floating away. Somebody has put their hand around it to keep us from getting smashed into by other rocks. That happens all the time out in space. I mean, we're talking, we can't even imagine how big space is. But yet, there's one in control. The one who created it all also wants to be in control of our lives. And, you know, and that's a comforting feeling. Just as soon as we begin to think that we're losing control and we begin to be overcome with fear, lose control. Give it to God. We want God to be in control. And you see, too many times we try to shoulder our fears alone. I spend way too many hours, way too many days, way too many nights laying in bed, stressing out to the point to where it makes me sick to my stomach. I begin to get chest pains. My hands begin to feel funny. I struggle with it, and it's a big deal. You know, even preparing a message, getting up here and doing this, I absolutely hate doing this as far as being in front of people. I love delivering a sermon, and I love being prepared for it, but I do not like standing in front of people. I can't stand it. I'm horrified of it to the point where I almost would have rather flunked high school than to take a speech class. Literally, it was that bad for me. But you see, Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. We've got someone that's in control who can handle anything and everything that we are going through. Nothing's too big for him. I'm going to grab a scripture out of 2 Timothy. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn there real quick here. 2 Timothy 1:6 through 7 says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You see, God doesn't want us living in fear. And I'm sure, you know, as you are sitting out there and listening to me, some of you may be thinking of certain things you fear, you know. Am I going to be able to pay my rent this month? I've dealt with that before, you know. There's all sorts of types of fears. It could be at work, it could be at home, it could be with your health. Whatever it may be, fear can be overwhelming. And we're not to live in fear because, you see, fear, like I said before, doesn't only affect us, it affects those around us. And I can't tell you how many times Ash has come up to me and said, you know, so-and-so at church wants to know if you're all right because you constantly look like you're depressed and you never smile. It's not that I'm depressed, but it's that I've constantly got something on my mind. I've constantly got something coming down the pipe. I've got all these thoughts. I've got all these worries. I've got all these emotions all coming down. How am I going to pay for this? Am I being a good enough father? Am I being a good enough husband? You know, I need to spend more time at church. I need to spend more time reading. I got all these things. And you can overload your mind with all these thoughts and fears and anxieties and worries to the point where you are absolutely miserable and you're no good to anybody. I would go to work and I'd spend all day worrying about everything that I just mentioned, and I'd come home and you'd think, well, the day's over, just enjoy it. Well, here I'd sit on the couch and just stare almost like a zombie for the rest of the night because I was overwhelmed. And, you know, the last two, three weeks, God's really been laying it on me. And I've really had enough of it to the point where I'm trying to rely on God to get me through these things. I don't need to worry. He can worry for me. Some of the fears that we have, that's going to be the base of my sermon here today. One of them is failure. A lot of us fear failing. I struggle with this myself. Well, what if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? Well, I got news for you. None of us are perfect. We are all going to fail, every single one of us. You know, when you look at some of the most successful men and women in this, you know, in history, look at Bill Gates, look at Donald Trump, look at Albert Einstein, look at any of these guys, most of them have failed multiple times. Failure gives you the ability to see if you can pick yourself back up. Don't let failure and the fear of failure stop you from trying certain things. Maybe it's a new position at work. You know, you're thinking, oh, I'd like to do that, but, you know, the fear of failing at it would be awful scary. And I don't think, you know, sometimes you just got to step out on faith and trust that God's going to get you through it. Failure. We shouldn't fear failure. Another, a big one is we fear what man thinks. If you would turn to Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. It says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So fear not, for you are more value than many sparrows. We worry about what other people think far, far, far too much. And maybe some of you here today are this in the same position. I constantly am worried about what somebody's going to think of me when I'm out in public. I'm worried to speak up. Sometimes I'm worried to tell my waitress at a restaurant that, you know, I really didn't order the chicken strips. So I'll just eat the chicken strips because I'm scared of what people might think of me. Honestly, and it's just like, it can be overwhelming, you know, and we also fear, sometimes we fear those in higher positions. We're to respect certain people in, you know, certain positions, but we're not to fear them. I had an opportunity Friday to sit down and have a conversation with the owner of our company about my financial status. I asked him for a meeting. He granted me the meeting, and things worked out actually pretty good. But you see, all week long I sat in fear thinking, oh, this guy, he's so, you know, he's high up there, and I'm scared of this guy, and I'm scared to talk to him, and I don't know what he'll think. I don't even know if he'll give me time, but you know what? He put his pants on the same way I did that morning. He's just skin and bones. He just had a good idea that ended up making him a bunch of money to where he could hire me, which I'm thankful for. But we aren't to fear men. Even look at David and Goliath. You know, when Goliath stepped out and basically wanted to destroy somebody, everybody else pretty much ran except poor little old David there. Can you imagine? This guy was almost 10 feet tall. He was a warrior. He was a killer. And everybody was scared of him. But here comes little David, and he's basically got a slingshot and some rocks. I'm looking at that from the outside saying, you're crazy, man. You know, but we aren't to have a fear of men. God's in control. God's bigger than we can even fathom. And God loves you. Financial fears. We worry about money far too much. I'm the worst. I worry about money all the time. Worry about having too little, not having enough, not having savings. This costs money, that costs money, this, you know, everything costs money. And we sit, and lots of times we will focus our lives on getting more money. We cherish money. We love money. We want more money to the point where people will do crazy things for money. You know, we see some of these reality shows on TV. These people are getting on in front of everybody, the whole world, and absolutely humiliating themselves, ruining their family's reputation, you know, backstabbing, lying, cheating, stealing, all these things for money. You know, it's crazy the things that people will do for money. But we shouldn't fear for our finances. I'm going to read a scripture here in Luke 12, 29 through 32. It says, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is in your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, we're not to fear for our finances. However, I think there's a big misconception that lots of times we'll see pastors and teachers put out there. And it's kind of a tricky line. You know, they'll say, as long as you're living according to God's will, you're never going to go without. You know, and I used to think that. But did you know that there's millions of Christians starving to death all over this planet? Everywhere. So what is it? Is it a contradiction in the Bible? Because the Bible says he knows our needs. He knows what we need. He says he provides it for the birds. How much more, you know, do we matter to him? He'll provide those things for us. But we see Christians all over this world that he's not providing them things for. He's just not. Why? I can't explain it. So what I'm thinking is that there might be more to it than just, you know, the meaning that we think. You know, God says, you know, put him first and he will provide these things. I don't know about the rest of the world, but I do know one thing, that all of us here today live in the United States of America. This is the land of opportunity. This is the land where our poorest of poor is rich compared to, you know, other places. So as far as we go, we have a lot of opportunity here. You can make it what you want to make it, you know. But again, that doesn't mean that necessarily you're never going to experience a bankruptcy. You're never going to experience going without. God doesn't promise those things. In fact, he says we will. But we need to be focused on the kingdom of heaven. That's what's important. And that's why we're here. So financial fears, if you've got financial fears, pray about it. God may not give you a raise, but he may give you a second job or a third job, whatever it may be. And see, we have to be willing to take those opportunities that he gives us. Lots of times we'll sit around and we'll wait for God to strike us with a lightning bolt and have a pot of gold sitting there or win the lottery or whatever it may be. And that's not how God works. You know, sometimes God will open a door for you. So we shouldn't fear for our finances. If we've got to work more, then go work more. Maybe we should spend less. And lots of times, you know, that's a fix to a lot of people's financial problems. Spend less. You know, we'll see people like myself with a $130 cable bill sitting there kicking the dirt because I'm barely getting by. And it's like, now wait a minute here. I'm paying $130 a month on cable. Sometimes we need to reevaluate ourselves. Sometimes we need to make sacrifices and make changes in order to get ahead. So fear of finances. Another one, fear of regret. A lot of us have fears of regrets. You know how you conquer a fear of regret? By doing. You know, we'll hear people say, I wish I would have spent more time with my kids when they were little. Now they're all grown up and I can't get that time back. Well, how you know, conquer that fear is by spending more time with your kids. I'm starting to learn that very fast because my son is growing up so fast that I can't even comprehend it. And I'm thinking, what did I do with my son yesterday? I don't want to be in regret. I don't want to be 60 years old saying, where'd the time go? I wish I would have spent more time with him. To conquer the fear of regret, you conquer by doing. A couple Sundays ago on Father's Day, I went down and played a song for my dad at the church he was preaching at. I played a Father's Day song that I'd wrote about 5 years ago with my guitar, and I sang it the whole bit. It was like Elvis, is very good. But anyway, I wrote this song about 5 years ago. And my plan was to sing this song for my dad on Father's Day 5 years ago. But I chickened out. And the following year, I chickened out. And the following year, I chickened out. And the following year, I chickened out. And I began to just, you know, let fear overcome me to the point of, you know, it was making me sick. And every year that Father's Day would pass, and I'd say, okay, babe, you got to keep me on track. This coming up year, I'm going to do it. Because you see, the fear of what man thought of me, how good they would think the song was or whatever, began to be overshadowed by the fear of regret. The fear that I may not have another Father's Day with my dad to play this song. And so, on Father's Day, he preached down at, I think it was Neoga, Illinois. I loaded up my guitar that morning. I went down there, and I walk in with my guitar, and they kind of look at me like, well, what are you doing today? You know, I've never been to this church a day in my life. But I wasn't going to pass up the opportunity. I wasn't going to regret it anymore. I went in. I said, I've got a song to play. Before my dad gets up there and preaches, can I play this song? And they said, oh, yeah, we'd love it. And so, you know, I went up there, and when the time came for me, and they're all just sitting there staring at me, and it's just like, uh-oh, here we go. So I went up there, grabbed my guitar, I grabbed my chair, and I told them, you know, don't think you're getting Elvis because you're not. And I went, and at this church, they all sit in the very back. So what I did, I had my guitar and my chair, and I started carrying it down the aisle and went down there and sat in the middle of them. I really did. But I did it. I was nervous and scared, but when I did it, it felt like, a, you know, 1,000 pounds was lifted off my shoulders. I never have to worry about playing that song again, but I also don't have to worry about regretting not playing it. You know, and the fear of regret can be very powerful. And I've seen people that live with regret. Regret that they didn't tell, you know, a loved one about Christ. You know, a fear that they didn't take this job opportunity. A fear that they didn't join a certain church or whatever it may be. The fear of regret can be very powerful. And, you know, we need to think about these things. The last one I'm going to look at today is the fear of death. You realize that every one of us here are going to die. Every single one of us here are going to die. You know, and that's a scary thought when you think about it. Because when we're living, we feel invincible. But then, you know, if something happens and our health starts to deteriorate, or, you know, we get up there in years, we start thinking about it. But it's a scary thought that literally, from me on back, all of you, we're all going to die someday. None of us are exempt from that. And, you know, and I'll hear preachers and pastors and people give sermons on the fear of death, and they'll say, you know, there's absolutely nothing to fear. Death is no big deal. All these things, we've got heaven and this and that. Well, I've got news for you. Fear of death is a very real thing, and it's a very big thing because Jesus Christ went to the cross and rose again so that he could defeat death. It's so powerful that he came to this earth and defeated death. Death was caused by sin. It's a big deal. But we don't necessarily have to worry about that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He abolished death. We're all going to die a physical death, but Christ abolished death. And now for someone who's lost, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, not only is that scary, but you should be scared to death. Because that's a big deal. Because when we die and we leave this planet, our physical bodies, we are going to spend eternity in one of two places. With Christ, we spend it in heaven. Without Christ, we spend it in hell. And it's for all eternity. But you see, we don't have to fear that because Christ went and paid the ultimate sacrifice. He went and paid the price on the cross and abolished death. He defeated death. Satan's biggest weapon was death. When sin came into this world, death came into this world. And you know, Christ came and he took Satan's biggest weapon and he killed him with it. You know, he defeated death. So we've looked at all these fears today, and you know, maybe I'm just up here rambling on, but if you're here today and you've got fears and you've got anxieties and you've got worries and you've got all these things that are constantly you're battling with and controlling with, today's the day to let them go. Not for me, not for the person sitting next to you, but for yourself. Because like I said, fears and anxieties and worries can be paralyzing. They can make us make bad decisions, you know, and decisions that we don't need to be making out of fear. We shouldn't let fear control us. I'm going to read one more little passage here, and I'm going to close with this. It's in Psalms 34. Psalms 34, 17 through 19 says, and if we want to go ahead and have the song leader come and the piano player, we'll close with this. Psalms 34, 17 through 19. Says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of righteousness, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. Stop trying to shoulder your problems and your worries and your concerns and your anxieties on your own shoulders. Cry for help. God will deliver you, and it will make a difference in your life. So I'd urge you today, if you've got certain things on your heart and on your mind, Maybe you've got loved ones on, you know, on your heart or on your mind, those that are lost. Maybe you've got decisions to be made. I've got a big decision coming up this week at work. Pray for me. It's a huge decision. It's a big deal. And I'm scared to death, but I know that God doesn't want me to be scared. He wants me to reach out to Him, hold tight to Him, and He's going to take care of everything. So if you have concerns or whatever it may be today, I urge you to come up, pray, and get it dealt with today. Don't go home with it. Because it can be, like I said, it can be not only emotional and mental, but it can hurt you physically.